Procrastination, one of the worst conditions a person can suffer from. Let's talk about it. Good day, good day. This your boy, better yet your man, Markel Prines. And this is WUWITB Uncut, the podcast. Welcome back, family. Today is January 26, 2019. And I'm glad to say that the government shutdown is over. The president recently signed a bill that would end the government shutdown temporarily. I believe it goes out until February, like the middle of February or so, where he's still fighting his good fight for this border wall. But today's topic is about one of the worst conditions that a person can suffer from. It's worse than any disease that I can think of. And I say that because more people suffer from this one condition than any other condition or disease in the world. And that condition is procrastination. Now, recently I did a training and I posted it to my Facebook page, and it was training on that word, in fact, procrastination, and it being the number one threat to the entrepreneur. Now, in my opinion, it is the number one threat to the entrepreneur. It's the number one threat also to accomplishment, to progression, to anything that leads to advancement. Procrastination is one of those things that stops everything in its tracks. And if you cannot overcome this condition, you will be doomed to suffer whatever fate or whatever path that you're currently on. If you don't like that path, procrastination is going to actually keep you on that path or make that path worse for you. Now, the fact is that everyone puts things off sometimes, but procrastinators, they avoid difficult tasks and deliberately look for distractions. Now, as a home-based business coach and mentor, I come across this situation on a daily basis. Individuals that say that they want more out of life, they want to be able to take care of their families, they want to increase their income, they want to be able to quit their job, retire early, they want to be able to build a huge savings and retirement fund. But the fact is, they're not willing to change their habits. They're not willing to overcome this condition of procrastination. Everything is a situation of I want, I want, I want. And what I found is that I want usually turns into I will never have. And it all stems from this one word, procrastination. Now, in my life, I've suffered from this condition. I've suffered from procrastination for a good portion of my life. And that has kept me stagnant at certain periods in my life where I wanted and I wanted and I wanted this or that, which was usually a financial gain or maybe to improve my health. I also did a YouTube, well, actually a Facebook post where I was in the gym, and it was titled, I believe, In Search of That Six Pack That I Haven't Seen in About 20 Years. But I wanted it, and to this day, I still don't have that six pack. It hasn't come back to me yet. But procrastination is something that if we can take the small steps and the needed adjustments to get rid of this condition, our lives would improve significantly. Now, I want to talk to you guys today in reference an online post from Psychology Today, which talks about procrastination and what it is. I called it a condition. I related it as being something close to a disease. And I believe that if we do look at it as a condition or disease, that'll help us better understand that there's a cure for it. There's a cure for this, and it's breaking the cycle of what we do on a daily basis. It's breaking that chain of thought that we have, or breaking that idea that we're doing something that is going to be boring, or doing something that's going to hurt in order to get the success or get the results that we're looking for. Procrastination is usually linked to the idea that the decision that we're going to have to make, one, is going to be a hard decision, and two, it's going to be something that is going to be boring. Now, in the world that we live in, most people hate boring, and most people hate hard. What I found in life is that those things that we think are going to be hard or boring are neither. It's just our perception of it before we actually take the time to dive into it, take the time to get it started. Now, in my case, when I decided that I wanted to overcome my condition of procrastination, it was a hard adjustment, but it was something that I knew was necessary in order for me to get to the level of success in my idea of success. It was something that I had to really set in my mind to do, to just jump out and take the chance, take the leap of faith on whatever it was, whatever task it was that I had to undertake in order to get to that end result. So I'm going to give you guys an example. Of course, this podcast. When I first decided to do a podcast, it wasn't because it was a lifelong dream of mine. It wasn't something that I went to school for, I got a degree or any kind of specialized training in. It was a thought that came to my mind one day, and I thought, there's a lot of stuff that I would like to talk about and express to the world, express my opinion and my feelings about certain things, different topics. And when I decided that I wanted to do that, I didn't even know about this platform that I'm building this podcast on. But when I decided in my mind that it was a definite thing that I was going to do, I decided not to procrastinate on it. I didn't wait till the next day to start. What I did was I immediately went online, which I often do nowadays and I do my due diligence and my research. A few years ago, my research would have always started out with a Google search. But nowadays, my research usually starts out with a YouTube search. So I decided to go on YouTube and do a search for how to start a podcast. And I was able to find this awesome platform here that I'm using today, which is Anchor. And if you haven't used this platform before and you're thinking about doing a podcast, I would highly recommend this software because it made it so easy for me to actually jump right in, get my message put down in a recording, and get what I wanted to have accomplished. So I did my research online, right? And I found out about this app. I saw that the app was actually free. I immediately downloaded it. I didn't want to waste any time. I didn't want that condition of procrastination to creep into my mind. I didn't want it to be something that I said to myself, okay, tomorrow I'll get to it. Because I knew from my experience that tomorrow always brought upon a new challenge, always brought upon a distraction of sorts. So I downloaded the app and I immediately went to work on testing it out. At first, I didn't know what it was that I wanted to talk about. But of course, if you guys go and you look through my first podcast, you can see that it was about the legalization of marijuana in Canada. It just so happened that that day that I decided to start doing a podcast, marijuana for recreational purposes was legalized in Canada. And me being a advocate for the legalization of marijuana, and hopefully it'll become legal across all these 50 states soon. But that being of interest to me, and me having a point of view that I wanted to share and touch on that topic, I knew that that had to be the first topic that I would talk about in my podcast. So without hesitation and without any procrastination, I started to research the ins and outs of the legalization of marijuana in Canada. Now, of course, prior to this, like I said, me being an advocate of the legalization of marijuana, I had already been somewhat involved in that community. In one, of course, I'll be completely honest with you, as having been a indulger of marijuana in myself, it was something that was a no-brainer to me. And also, being a person that actually invests in marijuana companies, being a shareholder in multiple companies, I have a stake in this industry and the legalization of that. So everything that I could think of was pointing in the direction that, hey, this is what it is. And this was going to be the first topic. And within a matter of hours, I went to work and I started to map out what it was that I wanted to talk about in relations to the legalization of marijuana in Canada, how I wanted to relate it back to being a U.S. citizen and how that could actually affect the United States if we were to decide to legalize it throughout the whole country. But the one thing that I can say that made it all possible was the fact that I decided to let go of that condition of being a procrastinator. Let's continue talking about it on the other side.
Let me call Jay and see what he's doing. Hi.
Fuck this man. You know what he want. This bitch.
Hello?
Yo, Vox. How y'all looking? Alright, I got something good for you, man. I got another load.
Hell no, I ain't doing no nothing, man. We just finished, man. I'm tired, bro.
A money run. I got another load, a money run, man. I need you to hold me down.
Money run? Why you always talking about a money run and I don't never see no money?
That nigga crazy as shit, man.
Come on, man. Now I'm tired, man.
Mira, cabrón, bro. I know you tired, but it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? We lock and load every day. And I pay you extra for it.
Fuck him, man.
Nah, B. Nah. I'm not doing no nothing, bro.
Yo, I signed the checks, man. You think you can do whatever you want?
You motherfucking right, I can do whatever I want.
Hello? Hello? Ese cabrón me colgó. Yo! Hello!
Yeah! I do whatever I want, bitch, bitch.
Cause who the fuck gon' stop me, stop me, stop me?
You fuck about what you think, bitch, bitch.
Cause you don't do nothing for me, for me, for me.
I spend whatever I want, bitch, bitch.
Cause I can't take you with me, with me, with me.
I say whatever I want, bitch.
Cause who the fuck gon' check me, check me, check me?
Hello, Vox. Hello, hello. Alright, I know how to find you. I GPS your ass.
I do whatever I want, bitch. Spending whatever I want, bitch. If you don't like it, get a fuck around me. Cause I ain't fitting to change shit. Bitch, I do me just to do me, not to please you. So fuck you. If you don't like me, just do you. Cause you way too busy fucking watching me. I'm a boss, motherfucker. Yeah, I told you that. Got a problem with it, we can handle that. Put that click clack to your fitted cap and go back, back. That be the end of that. I don't play with other nigga children, boy. I got my own that I'm tending for. So pay attention to your own shit. Keep your bitch ass off of my dick. Keep your bitch ass off of my dick. When she ain't with you, I'm who she with, and you can't be mad. You envious, so she wanna see what a nigga working with. Whoa. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm doing whatever I want, my nigga, my nigga. And y'all in my business like bitches, my nigga, my nigga. I'm losing my patience with all y'all niggas,
y'all niggas.
Fam ties over all y'all niggas. I spend what I want, I do what I want. Who the fuck gon' check me, nigga? I'm a motherfucking boss, thought I told y'all niggas. What the fuck y'all thought I was playing, my nigga?
Bitch. Bitch.
Cause who the fuck gon' stop me, stop me, stop me?
You fuck about what you think, bitch, bitch.
Cause you don't do nothing for me, for me, for me.
I spend whatever I want, bitch, bitch.
Cause I can't take you with me, with me, with me.
I say whatever I want, bitch, bitch.
Cause who the fuck gon' check me, check me, check me.
I do whatever I want, bitch. Say whatever I please. And if you got a problem with it, you can drop down to them knees. And I know you know what that mean. All I know is how to get cream. All I roll up is that gas. I put my foot up in your ass. Yes, I really do this shit. I roll with shooters, put a hole in your medulla quick. Quick. I know you think you the shit. Yeah. But I know you's a bitch. Woo. I don't know what to tell you.
What to tell you?
Step, I come from the cellar.
From the cellar, nigga.
I'm in the rain with no umbrella.
Oh yeah.
And I will never fail you. Don't know the definition of failure. Never been a failure. I know half these niggas is telling all up in they feelings. They mad cause my squad is the illest. All my niggas killers. Rocks told me six. Hop on the track cause I know you're gonna kill it. Let's go on.
Bitch.
Cause who the fuck gon' stop me, stop me, stop me?
Give a fuck about what you think, bitch.
Cause you don't do nothing for me, for me, for me.
I spend whatever I want, bitch, bitch.
Cause I can't take you with me, with me, with me.
I say whatever I want, bitch, bitch.
Cause who the fuck gon' check me, check me, check me? I do whatever I want to, want to. I do whatever I want, I want, I want. I do whatever I want to, want to. Cause what the fuck you gon' do, gon' do? I spend whatever I want to, want to. I spend whatever I want, I want, I want. I spend whatever I want to, want to. Cause what the fuck you gon' do, gon' do? I say whatever I want to, want to. I say whatever I want, I want, I want. I say whatever I want to, want to. Cause what the fuck you gon' do, gon' do?
Femme,
box, 6-1. Bang,
bang, bang.
Those two. I do whatever I want to. I do whatever I want to. I do whatever I want. I want. I want. I do whatever I want to.
Okay, so right now what I want to do is read a little bit of some excerpts from this Psychology Today post. It has some very important information and interesting information in here. So it says, procrastination in large part reflects perennial struggles with self-control as well as the general human inability to accurately predict how well or how we'll feel tomorrow or the day after. Some people will say, I don't feel like it. And that often takes precedence over goals. However, then it begins a downward spiral of negative emotions that deter future effort. Perfectionists are often procrastinators. And I have to stop right there and say that that was one of the things that made my procrastination worse. Me being somewhat of a perfectionist kept me from taking chances and doing things. There was plenty of times where I didn't really procrastinate, or I decided that I wanted to do something and I would start it and it didn't seem right. It either didn't sound right to me or it didn't look right to me, and then I would stop and I would put it off until the next day. Or I would get kind of overwhelmed with the idea or the concept of what it was I was trying to accomplish, and started to feel as though I wasn't good enough to get the job done. And that often led to my procrastination, being a perfectionist. I'm still like that till this day. And for example, I fight and I struggle with that even when I'm doing things such as this, the podcast. I can tell as I'm going along, there might be some hiccups in the podcast. I may have a verbal misstep here and there. And in my mind, it slows me down because I can hear it or I can feel it coming, and it'll make me want to start all over again. It'll make me want to go back and say, hey, I got to delete this. Let me start all over. And when I first decided to do the podcast, that first episode, I can't tell you guys how many takes it took for me to actually decide that this is as good as it's going to get on a first attempt. I will say that, and I guess this is only my opinion, and you guys can judge for yourself, I do feel as though I've gotten better at it, seeing as though I'm able to do the podcast with less takes. I can hear the mistakes, but of course, this is just human nature. There's going to be mistakes. Nothing's ever perfect. Practice does not make perfect. I learned years ago that practice makes only permanence. So if I misstep, that's okay. At times, I'll listen to my podcast, or while I'm actually doing it, it won't even be a verbal misstep. It'll be a maybe possible long pause misstep. And I'll think to myself, man, I got to go in and edit that out. I need to shorten that. The pause was too long, or whatever it might be. But that's just the perfectionist in me that makes that that much of a issue. Something that most people might not even recognize. And a prime example when I'm thinking about that, like right now, I'm multitasking in my head. I'm thinking about the next thing that I want to talk about. I'm thinking about things previously in my life that I can actually talk to you guys about to add value to this important topic. I'm thinking about the fact that I just told you of my missteps, and it makes me think of a situation that I've had years ago, maybe about 3 years ago, where I went to a Toastmasters meeting, and not being a professional speaker or anything, I was asked to come to the stage randomly. I was there just as a guest of a friend of mine's who has been an advocate of, you know, personal development and public speaking, and he's been a part of Toastmasters for years and had certifications in it. And he went up to the stage, and it was something about I believe it was a hot topic. And I'm sitting there just soaking everything in, and he caught me off guard. He made a statement, and he asked me to come up and talk about what it meant to me. I was so nervous at the time, I didn't know what to do. But I knew at that time that I could not say no. I couldn't turn down the invitation. I couldn't procrastinate and hold off on walking up to the stage. I had to go. I had to make it happen. And when I went up, nervous as can be, palm sweating, I was looking for something to shield me, to protect me from this nervousness. And being 6'8", it wasn't anything around that could actually shield me or hide me from the public, even the podium. To me, the podium was small. It came up to my waist. And I just recall putting my hands down on this wooden podium and lifting them up. And I looked at the podium. I could see the imprints of my sweaty hands on there. And all I could do was start to respond. I started to speak. I started to tell what it was that the thing that he expressed or that he asked, the question that he asked, I started to explain what it meant to me. And that's a perfectionist. My mind was racing at that time also, and I'm thinking, that doesn't sound right. I could hear the quiver in my voice. I could hear the nervousness in my words. And I just thought this was horrible. I got my point out. I made it through. And to my surprise, it ended with an applause. And what further gave me confidence was when the president of that actual chapter came over to me and he told me that I did a great job. And I had to let him know that I didn't feel that way. I had to let him know that I was nervous. I was so nervous. I told him about the sweaty palms. I told him about how nervous I was. And he said that he didn't hear any of that. He said, it was great. This was your first time and you did a great job. So I learned that my idea of perfection may never be achieved. But someone else's idea of perfection in me may be what I'm actually producing. Somebody out there listening to my podcast may think that it's the greatest thing in the world. And someone else, and maybe a few other people, will think that it's not. But if I let those thoughts creep into my mind and I let that be a deterrent, then that would feed that condition, that negative condition of procrastination. Because in turn, I would become more of a perfectionist dweller. And that would lead me deeper into procrastination because I wouldn't want to stop revising and renewing until I actually got it right. So let me continue on with this excerpt here because we got a lot more to get to. So it says, once again, perfectionists are often procrastinators. It is psychologically more acceptable to never tackle a task than to face the possibility of falling short on performance. And that's absolutely true. It says procrastinators typically contend that they perform better under pressure. But research shows that is not the case. More often than not, that's just their way of justifying putting things off. Procrastination also involves some degree of self-deception. They are at some level aware of the truth of their actions. Unfortunately, the contemporary environment, procrastination by supplying an endless array of distractions literally at one's fingertips. Now, I have to say that that's me all day. It becomes a self-deception when you start to deal with procrastination and the things that lead you to it. I did used to find myself justifying putting things off. It's like the idea of saying, I'll do this tomorrow. And in a way, you'll say to yourself, tomorrow will be a better day. Or tomorrow, I'll have more time to actually get it right as a perfectionist. But that's not necessarily true. There's no time like the present. So why not get it done now? Why not try something and succeed or fail now? So that tomorrow, if you have a tomorrow, if you do fail today, tomorrow is another chance to actually get it right. Instead of tomorrow being the day that you possibly get to take that first attempt. And then what if you fail then? Then you have to wait for the following day. And that's what makes things linger on. It also says here that still successfully changing behavior doesn't necessarily mean one feels transformed internally. There will always be times when tasks have to be done, whether one feels motivated or not. So motivation is a big factor to getting rid of that condition of procrastination. That's why I've also done online trainings, which I have an online training on YouTube. And it talks about one of the first things that an entrepreneur or anybody that has a task to do should do is write down their goals and their reasons why. Because that's what's going to actually get you through the process and help you make it through the end and help you overcome this condition of procrastination. Now, this article goes on to say that there are three forms of procrastination. Now, I'm going to read this here, and it's very interesting. It says approximately 20% of people are chronic procrastinators. I think that should be a lot higher, but it says chronic. So that's the extreme cases. It says for them, the behavior cuts across all domains of life. There's more than one flavor of procrastination. Arousal types or thrill seekers wait until the last minute in order to reap a euphoric rush. I think I have that type of procrastination. I think back to school, to high school, and even elementary school. One of the things that I hated most was studying. I always put that off, or I didn't do it at all. I would study the day of the actual test or exam, and it was like a rush to me because I knew that, okay, I was able to get it done. I was able to remember the information and recall it just by studying within, let's say, an hour or two before it was time to take the exam. It did become like a rush to me. Now, I wasn't a straight A student in school, but I was somewhere in the middle to high rank in my class, even with not studying on a daily basis. But it was a euphoric feeling to actually get the test results back and to see, okay, I got a 85, a 90 on it, on something that I really just reviewed a couple of hours before it was time to take the test. I started to get cocky when it came to things like that, feeling as though I didn't need to study in advance. Some things you can't just take a shot in the dark at. You can't just prepare the second before and get it right. I know that till today. I know that. Back then, I think I knew it too, but it was, as it says, it was the rush. So I have to agree that I'm partly the arousal type, a thrill seeker. Then it says a second type are avoiders. They put off tasks because of fear of failure or even fear of success, but in either case are very concerned with what others think of them. That's more so me. Being a tall guy, being 6'8", being somebody that you can visually see in a crowd, a standout, you would think that I would be the type that's more of a attention seeker, but I'm more of a attention avoider. I don't like to be put in the spotlight, but because of my stature, I've often been put into the spotlight just because of that. It's been times where I've been somewhere in a group and I could just feel that someone was going to pick me for something just because I was just that standout person. I would sit down in meetings while others would stand because I didn't want to tower over people. I didn't want to be that standout person, the one that, you know, the trainer or whoever, as they're looking over the crowd or the audience, and it just, the thought came to my mind that they were also thinking, man, that's a tall guy over there. Let me ask him a question. I want to know what he has to say about this. I want to see what he does in this situation. Just because of their attraction to a standout, so to speak. So I definitely am more of the second type, an avoider. I did often put off tasks because of fear of failure. And this is a big one here. A lot of people put off tasks due to the fear of success. I heard Les Brown talk about this a lot. What if I am good enough? What if I do succeed? But what if I can't handle the success that comes with it? What if I can't handle the spotlight? Now, as I just stated, and let's just think of a situation. Let's say I went out somewhere and there was a, let's say, an audition to be on a show or to be on TV. And me being a standout in the crowd, somebody just looks, let's say the producer or the director looks and says, man, that's a tall guy there. Let's see what he can do. And just to be put on the spot. Let's say if I had the same experience as I had in that Toastmasters meeting where I'm going through the process in front of the director and I'm feeling as though, man, this is horrible, that I'm not good. And then in the end, he says, that's perfect. You're exactly who we were looking for. And now all of a sudden, cameras are flashing. People are calling. They want me to be a part of this, that. They want me to be in commercials. Then they want you to be on shows. Then they want you to be in movies. But every step of the way, you're so nervous. You have such a fear. At this point, it's not a fear of, am I good enough? Because with every step and every action that you take, you end up getting compliments and applauses. But now it's the fear that, okay, now I'm getting paid, I'm getting recognition. Now I'm successful. Can I handle the emotional pressure? Can I handle being in the spotlight of it? And you find in Hollywood, a lot of individuals can't handle that pressure. They either go crazy, some commit suicide, unfortunately. And we all sit back and watch and we think, how could that happen? How could a person do that when they're rich, when they're able to live the life that they wanted to? And we feel as though they have it all, but they have a fear. At that point, their fear of success and the things that it brings up within them has led them down that path. And no amount of money can correct that. Sometimes it does require strict therapy in order to get over that. Now let's see. Now the third one, it says, are decisional procrastinators. They are the people who are unable to make a decision. And not making a decision absolves them of responsibility for the outcome of events. There are big costs to procrastination. It is internally troubling, leading to such problems as insomnia, immune system, and gastrointestinal disturbances, and it erodes personal relationships and teamwork in the workplace. Now, I'm partly that too, and I think most of us can relate to that one. And to think that procrastination, we think that it's just an action, it's just an act of not doing something, but it's an emotional roller coaster act. It's something that messes with our emotions. And it also messes with our health. And it says here, it messes with the immune system and gives gastrointestinal disturbances. I believe we've all had situations where we get a gut feeling, we get a gut vibe, where we get that sinking feeling as if you're on a roller coaster that's going down. Just at the idea of making a decision. And sometimes we feel as though it's better to not make the decision at all, so that we're not responsible for the outcome, so that we're not the ones being judged in the end. I often have that. I have to agree. I would say I experience that on a daily basis. I'll go even further and keep it 100 with you guys and say that I'm experiencing that right now at this moment. Even though this is episode 7 of my podcast, that one thing there that they brought up of gastrointestinal disturbances, I can feel it bubbling in my stomach as I speak. It's not as bad as it used to be. It gets milder and milder as time goes on, and as you start to do more and actually start to get over this condition of procrastination, the more you do, the less it will hurt, the less you'll be disturbed by the action that you have to take. I sit here now and I can feel my stomach bubbling. But I understand that it's just a process. It's something that comes with this condition. I haven't fully conquered it yet, but each day I take new steps to get closer and closer to conquering it. In a way, it's bad, of course, but in a way it's good, because as it said in, what was that, number 2, the thrill seeker. The thrill seeker in me says that bubbling feeling in my stomach, that's that rush that a person gets. That's that thrill of overcoming it, knowing that it's there and still working and pushing through. So we all have this within us, and we all have the ability to work through it. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, I want to talk about some ways that you can actually get through it and avoid it altogether. Now, I know I've probably mentioned a couple of things already, but I want to see what this article has to say, if it has anything to say at all, about how to get through it, work through the condition of procrastination. But let's talk about it on the other side.
Instead of me fulfilling my prophecy, I have to start one. Instead of me, you know, doing a good job and carrying on the empire, I have to build one. And that's a hell of a job for a 21-year-old. You know what I'm saying? That's a hell of a job for any youngster, male or female, to have to build an empire for your family.
Damn, Menace got beats.
Till I can't no more, I'ma do it till I can't. Till my motherfucking casket close, I'ma do it till I can't.
I'm about to build the empire, you can tell by my desire. If you ever try to stop me, watch a nigga open fire. Got no time for them bitches, cause my mind on my riches. And my circle so small, it's like that bitch disappearing. I do this shit for my children, so I never stop working. If you don't do this for something, then what the fuck is the purpose? Gold world on my back, and I got love for my city. Niggas get killed every day, so I just pray for my city. I keep that drink in my cup, and that loud pack lit. I keep telling you niggas that I'm as real as it gets. I keep my head to the sky, and my feet to the ground. With the reds out to your face if you wanna play with me, clown. Yeah, I'm 33, but that Glock 21. For 17 in the clip, disrespect and you're done. Lyrically, I'm legendary, keep on blessing these beats. Y'all can't fuck with me, nigga, I'm way too out of your reach. Sometimes I feel like I got a passion to preach, cause the Lord keep on blessing me with something to teach. Fulfilling my prophecy, and I think that I'm close, cause I be better at half, but y'all be doing the most. I ain't saying niggas trash, but they cutting it close, cause y'all rather ride away instead of owning a boat. I guess niggas is satisfied with just staying afloat. Well, my foot is to the floor, I ain't trying to coast. And when it's all said and done, I'ma stand for a toast, cause I'm about to take this fucking rap shit by the throat. Till the eyes pop off the bitch and roll on the floor. Tell me top, motherfuckers, you already know. If you ain't riding with us, you can choke on the smoke. And we still gon' eat with the fork in the roll. You ain't gotta turn the page to see the story unfold. Fuck the boss in this bitch, boy, you already know. Yeah.
I'ma do it till I can't no more. I'ma do it till I can't. Till my motherfucking casket closed. I'ma do it till I can't.
I'ma grind till my casket closed. I swear to God, boy, nobody ever gave me shit, and I ain't asked for it. Struggle, grab my nuts in the shovel and dug a path for it. Wouldn't change shit, cause it made me a better man for it. Respect is something a nigga will take a stand for. That's why I keep that thing with a kick, you need to stand for it. Niggas better stay in they lane, no detour. Cause anything coming my way, I'm prepared for it. None of this don't mean shit without a plan, boy. So I'ma keep giving you thoughts, you understand, boy. It's my time, nigga, and I'm about to show these niggas how to grind, nigga. And never fuck with family ties, cause they my niggas. And pistols popping, bodies dropping over my niggas. My nigga,
my niggas be the pot flippers. And either get rolled over or you ride with us. If you ain't in tune, get in line with us. And if you fuck with us, then you gotta grind with us. And if you really grind with us, then you shine with us. And if we let you shine with us, then you my nigga. See, I ain't never gonna stop till my casket in the dirt. Till another real nigga come and put me on a shirt. But I can't chase the money cause my legs don't work. And I can't bust a shotty cause the gauge don't work. Can't punch on a nigga cause my hands gon' hurt. Till a nigga get ugly and a hoes don't flirt. On another note, fam, time's a new death row. And I'ma ride in something spacious like a UFO. Why you fucking up the patch, nigga? You old up. I'ma ride for my guys till I motherfucking die. Why the fam ties banner flapping high in the sky, nigga? Cause I ride, they my niggas.
Ride, 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 ride. I'ma do it till I can't no more. I'ma do it till I can't. Till my motherfucking casket closed. I'ma do it till I can't. Ride, 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 ride. I'ma do it till I can't no more. I'ma do it till I can't. Till my motherfucking casket closed. I'ma do it till I can't. Ride, 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 ride. Till my motherfucking casket closed. Till I can't.
Okay, family, so now let's talk about how to address procrastination. Now, in this part of the article, it starts out with a comparison. And I'm going to read through that real quick also. So it says, imagine you went to the doctor complaining of a headache. And the first words out of his or her mouth were to take an aspirin and have a nice day. If your headache turned out to be, say, a brain tumor, you'd sue and win. A headache is only the symptom. Its cause will determine the right treatment. And the same thing is true in relation to procrastination. It says that you should decide how to treat it only after you've identified the root causes. And now we're going to get it into a couple of the root causes, right? So first on the list is, your life is too bad to make the effort to cure your procrastination. It says here that if that's the case, it's too early to work on procrastination. Instead, take baby steps to improve your life's blockers. And that includes work, relationship, emotional health, or physical health. Of course, your life needn't be in perfect shape before addressing your procrastination. It just needs to be good enough to feel your procrastination is worth controlling. Okay, so with that, like I stated before, one of the things that helped me start to get over my procrastination, and I suffered from that. I felt as though my life was too bad to make the effort to cure it. My procrastination. So at times I did feel like that in the past. So I had to, you know, work on different blockers. Sometimes it was relationships. Now our relationships with our family, our loved ones, our spouses, our kids, those things there can lead us to procrastination. And if we can get right with those situations, we can move past it. And I'm going to give you guys an example. Let's say you have a big dream of doing whatever, building something big. But then your relationship at home with your, let's say, fellas, your relationship at home with your wives or your girlfriends are bad. Let's say on a daily basis, you guys argue just about trivial things. Let's say you two can't get on the same page about something, and you just see the relationship itself may not be going the way you really want it to be, and you don't see a positive end in it. That's enough right there to make you procrastinate in other areas. That's enough to make you say, forget it. What am I actually looking to achieve my goal for? If my life is going to be bad, which you're relating that to your relationship, then why should I even make the attempt to achieve my goals and my dreams? And I felt that way before, and I know that there's millions of others that have felt that way. It's like, if this part of my life isn't going to be right, then why should I even take the chance to make that part of my life right, achieving a goal or a dream? So the first step would be to not necessarily work on your goal and your dream right away. Work on that relationship. Work on building that relationship, rebuilding that relationship with that spouse, or reconnecting with whatever it is that's your blocker. If it's that job, maybe you need to sit down with your boss and discuss alternatives to make that working environment better. Sometimes even like what I had to do recently, back in September 28th, actually, I, as my great business partner and mentor said, I donated my job back to the economy for multiple reasons. It was so that I could be able to further pursue my goals and dreams and overcome this condition of procrastination when it came to that, because my job, yeah, it was bringing me a great income, but it was a blocker for me. It was something that was blocking me from being able to, as I felt, live to the fullest potential, live to my fullest potential. So you sometimes need to correct those blockers, as it states here, in your life before you can move on and get rid of your procrastination when it comes to making your daily decisions. So the next thing is, it says here that, let's say if you tend to lose track of time. It says for a day or longer, keep a timer in your pocket, such as the clock app on your iPhone or a small kitchen timer. Set it for whatever time you think would be helpful to track, as short as a minute, as long as an hour. And each time the timer chimes, you get a sense of how long that interval is. If you're ambitious, log what you were doing during that interval. After a few hours, review your log. Do you want to relocate your time? So that's a good one there. I haven't tried that, but I can see the importance of that, because now, not having my 9-to-5, which I was there for 10 hours out of the day, and when you count lunch, it was 11 hours, and when you count travel, you can add another hour, so 12 hours out of the day, I was at a 9-to-5, which kept me from pursuing my goal or my dream of what I wanted to be as an entrepreneur. But now that I have free time, the time still seems like it gets away from me. Hours can go by, and I know a lot of people can relate to this also. You look at the time and you say, where did the time go? How is it that I just woke up and it's 10 o'clock? I've lost those two or three hours that I would have had, let's say, if I was still working a 9-to-5 and I was getting up earlier than that. Or you wake up, you watch TV, and you think that, hey, you only watch one show, and you find yourself watching multiple episodes of the show, and then it's the afternoon. And then you're thinking to yourself, well, it's too late to actually do this task right now. I'll pick it up later on tonight when everybody's, resting, everybody, the house is settled, the neighbors are quiet. I'll have time to myself. And then the hours go by again, then the nighttime comes, and then you find, oh, you're tired now. But you're tired from what? Those hours in between weren't productive, but without having that clock or that timer, as it states here, you would never know what did you really spend those lost hours doing. So that's a great idea, having a little timer or watch and then documenting it. What did you do in those 15 minutes that went by so fast? If it was just you sat at the edge of the bed, or you pulled up your cell phone and you played a game on there, which I often do, I'll find myself waking up. I got this game on my phone that I've been playing for a couple of years now, and the time has gone by so fast that I can't even tell you how long I've been playing this game, but it had to be at least a year. It could be 2 years, but that just shows how time can be lost. And I'll find that I start my day with it. Sometimes I'll even wake up in the middle of the night and do certain actions in the game that'll, you know, get me more coins or points or whatever it is, and then I'll go back to sleep. But things like that, being able to keep track of it, keep a timer, and knowing what you're actually spending your time doing, and then working backwards from there. The next one is, you're impulsive. It says, so you escape unpleasant tasks for pleasant ones, even if it hurts you long term. It says, try consciousness raising. And it says, I'm not talking here about the Buddhist kind, although that can be helpful. It says, for the next hour or day, your choice, be aware of that moment of truth when you're facing an uncomfortable task and tempted to literally or figuratively get a burrito. Of course, there are times to opt for the burrito, but by being conscious of whether to do that, the procrastinator more often concludes it's worth the discomfort of the darn task and that the burrito can wait. That's another good one. And that goes back to the idea of, let's say if you're an avid video game player, or you like to play the games on your phone, which they can be very addictive. That it's somewhat like gambling. There's so many addictions in the world today that we might not even think it's an addiction until you really sit back and think about it and link everything and say, what is an addiction? When you just have the habit of doing something unconsciously and it's just taking away your time and you're being impulsive, having that clock, like I said in the last one, keeping track of the time, and then with this one, being aware of that moment of truth, being aware of that moment when you go reach for your phone, so to speak, to turn on that game, and then think to yourself, is it more important for me to play this game for however long? Because of course, when you're addicted to something, or when you have habits like that, you get caught up in 5 minutes. What you believe is 5 minutes can actually end up being an hour, and it can go by so fast. And you have to take that moment before you start to indulge in it to think, what can I be doing productively in this hour? What can I be doing to get me closer to achieving what it is that I'm looking to achieve? So you have to stop yourself and decide what's more important, and you have to make that adjustment. Try it for a day or two. Next, says your philosophy of life is centered around the pursuit of happiness. Says some procrastinators are helped by recognizing that the life well led usually entails a fair amount of accomplishment. After all, many people could be happy with a life filled with sitcoms, snacks, and bubble baths. Yet even a hedonist would agree that such a life is less well led than a life that balances work and play, or even prioritizes productivity. Okay, that was a good one. Next, says you're a perfectionist, so tasks are a long, painful slog. Says if so, you'll understandably procrastinate subsequent tasks. It may help to realize that you're in control of a perfectionism pedal rather than defaulting to perfectionism all the time. Consciously decide whether to press the pedal to the metal and do the task perfectly, or is this a time when the perfect is the enemy of the good, and for that task, half pedal or even less is good enough. So I believe I touched on that in my explanation of my journey, where I had to get over the idea of being perfect. I had to get over that thought that I was going to really be, you know, the greatest, this or that, that I was going to do it perfectly. Sometimes good is good enough. Like I said before, sometimes your good is somebody else's perfect. So you have to be willing to say, forget about trying to achieve the unachievable, because we are our worst critics most times. We probably will never be satisfied with where we're at or where we're going, but we have to appreciate what we do have and where we are and where we are headed and say that's good enough. So the next one, it says, you're tackling tasks that are too difficult. If you particularly procrastinate tasks that are hard, can you delegate any? For example, I am lousy at fixing things around the house, so I usually just call the guy. That's something also that I struggle with. Being a perfectionist, I find that I'm the one that does everything from A to Z. I'll start a project that might have many different facets to it, many different tasks, many things that somebody else could actually do and take part for me. But I have a hard time entrusting those things to other people because of my perfectionism mentality. I've been proven wrong sometimes, and I've been proven right by it sometimes. I've let other people do things for me, and it hasn't come out good or good enough up to my standards, and I've thought to myself, I should have did it myself. And I find that I do things myself to a large extent, and in part, it's a pro and it's a con. Once again, it's me overcoming my condition of procrastination. I found that instead of me waiting on a response from somebody else to say if they can take on a task, I'll just start doing it myself because I hate to wait. Even partly being a procrastinator, I hate to wait on things. I've gotten to the point where I have to have things done right away. When it came to the podcast, I didn't wait for a microphone to come in the mail. I still don't have one. I'm just holding my phone up now, doing a recording. I may order one. I may find a need to order a microphone. When I decided to do my online videos on YouTube, I didn't wait for a videographer to come record me. I actually got a tripod, I put it up, and I recorded myself. I didn't wait for the assistance or look for the assistance of a videographer to edit the video. I downloaded the software and I learned how to do it myself. When I wanted to have my information put on a website, I didn't wait for a website developer. I went and I found a program that actually allows me to create websites, which I can actually do for other people. and I started to do that myself. But it's great to be able to do it all, but that can, you know, make the process that much longer. It can make not being a procrastinator being it can make you be less productive in a way. It could be it's a double-edged sword. I could delegate these things, maybe I will later on down the line, so that I'll have more free time to do other things that I might want to do. But at the moment, I find that I do it all myself. Even when I'm home, if I want something to eat, I don't ask my lady to go make me something to eat. I'll go and I'll cook it myself. I've even put videos on YouTube of different things that I've made and how well they've come out. So that's something, being able to delegate. If it's a task that someone else can do for you, let it be delegated to someone. And let's see, I believe there's two more to go. This is your tackling tasks that are too easy or repetitive. This is boring tasks generally can be hired out and expensively. So consider outsourcing such tasks. So that's back to the hard things, the difficult things to do. Some of the easy things, even though you may be able to do it yourself, outsource it if you can. And let's see, the next one is you're emotionally fragile, so you're afraid you won't rebound quickly after a failure or rejection. So it says even highly successful people fail, but they rarely allow themselves to wallow. They quickly, perhaps instantly, glean any lessons from the failure, and then instead of recriminations or anger, they redirect to some positive activity. Says this isn't an inborn trait, it's an acquirable habit. So keep reminding yourself that if you have a reasonable chance of succeeding at a task, it's worth trying. If you fail, you'll survive and maybe learn something from the attempt. So all in all, just to sum it up for you guys, this condition called procrastination, it has a lot of facets to it. We could talk about this topic all day and come up with solutions and reasons for why it exists. What I've gathered through personal experience is that you have to, as the saying goes, just do it. Find a way to just snap yourself out of it. Get that watch. Get that timer. When you find that you're doing something that's not leading you towards your goals, that's leading you closer to further procrastination, stop. Think about what you could be doing instead. And just do it. Take that chance. Stop worrying about things coming out perfect, because they'll never be perfect. Practice, once again, does not make perfect. It makes permanence. And when it's time to perform, perform it, whatever that function is, with that mindset. Performing with the mindset that you're good, maybe someone else is perfect. Just take the chance and see what happens. And in the end, your life will be so much better. So I hope this podcast right here has helped some people out. I hope that you're able to overcome this condition of procrastination. And I do invite you to check out my YouTube channel. And that's Markel Prines on YouTube. And follow me on Facebook also at Markel Prines. And if you see that video, the training videos that I did on procrastination and it being the number one threat to the entrepreneur, I related it strictly to the entrepreneur, but it applies to everyone, everyone's life. We all have some procrastination issues and concerns, and getting over those issues will lead to a better life. So once again, this is your boy, better yet your man, Markel Prines. I appreciate you guys joining me today, and I look forward to the next podcast. Thanks again for tuning in to WUWITB, the podcast.
Yes, sir.
You know, the people need that motivation. 10-4.